Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
I have a podcast today about a man named Raj. Now, that is a made-up name, of course. And he asks at the very beginning of the session if I could go open, but he kind of wants me to go open with the guides in a particular area. This is how he words it. Anything the guides are willing to tell him about the way that he's feeling, but he doesn't tell me how he's feeling.
Yeah, okay. That's common.
Yeah. So I asked the guides what they wanted to say, and I just said to him too, I should back that up. I said to him, I'm just going to confirm with you what you're feeling. Would that be okay with you? And he went, sure, like this. And I said, well, I want to make sure that I have a connection to you. So I'm going to sit here and feel it. Oh, he says, you're actually going to like mirror the feeling for me. He says, like, you're going to pick up what I'm feeling. And he goes, well, that's impossible. Like this. He goes, never mind. He goes, okay.
You know, Karen, you are an impossibility, aren't you?
Apparently. And he goes,
don't change.
Yeah. He goes, okay, you go ahead and give that a try. This should be fun. Like this. And I just thought that's fine. I just, whatever, eh?
So no, what the fuck? Was this like a challenge or was he like delighted? Like what was that?
I think it was a challenge.
Oh, I don't like this. Why did he call you?
Oh, for help? Yeah. So.
Is he married?
Yes.
Oh, God.
So, actually, that's funny that you said that. So,
you knew I was going to ask.
Okay. So, I sat in front of him and I just looked to the left and waited for the feelings to come into my body and to see what it is that was going on. And oh my God, Kelly, I actually said to him when I started, I'm going to just jump into what's going on in your marriage in order to tell you what you're feeling. And he went, pardon? And I said, just give me 5 minutes. Just give me five. He goes, that's fine, Karen. He goes, you take your time. So I asked the guides for all of the information about the marriage and I started. And this is what I said to him. I said, Raj, I said, you believe that you have a really good marriage. And he goes, yes.
Based on your limited communication skills and our limited time together, I'm going to tell you, you do not.
So I said, but the spirit guides are saying that you're lacking self-esteem. You lack confidence. You're second-guessing yourself all the time. You feel anxious all of the time. You feel depressed. And he goes, yeah. And I said, he goes, what's this got to do with my marriage? And I said, everything. And he goes, oh, I don't see the connection. And he says, but you've got the feelings right. He says, so wait. He goes, so can I take a pause? And I said, yeah. He goes, I was rude. He says, he says, I didn't believe that you could feel what I feel. He says, I just thought that was bullshit. He said, I thought you were going to look at me and tell me by the look on my face. And he says, so I was trying to get my face all organized. He says, I got all up in my own shit and I was trying to get a look on my face so you couldn't read my face.
But he said, what?
He says, I was trying to like sit in my body differently. I moved in my chair and he goes, the whole time I'm doing all of this and I'm looking at you, he says, you weren't even looking at me.
You are irrelevant, sir. Back the fuck up. Okay, correct me if I'm misunderstanding this. He called you because he wanted you to explain to him why he was feeling the way he was feeling. He did not know that you would in fact feel what he was feeling. He just thought you were going to be able to psychically explain why.
Yes, that's correct.
And still had the belief that you would see it, the answer,
yep,
all over his face at which point he tried to trick you by looking neutral.
Yes.
So what did he believe in when he called?
I don't know.
And separate from that, he knows and is confirming he has low self-esteem, questions himself all the time, mm-hmm. is struggling with depression, and mm-hmm. does not believe that that will affect or be affected by his marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Just making sure I have all of my facts right as I am downloading everything that's happening.
Yeah. So he apologized.
Okay, that's a start.
And then he just said, you go on because I don't see the correlation. He says, in my opinion, he says, you know, I look at all my friends. He says, all my dudes. He says,
there's your first problem.
I said, my marriage is great. He says, it's better than most. And he says,
two different standards.
Wait.
I'm doing commentary.
Okay. He says, I feel that my wife and I are in a really good place. He says, and I wasn't really looking today for you to tell me that I'm going to get a divorce. I don't want to hear that. And I said, the guides aren't going to tell you that as far as I can tell, but I'm going to continue. And I said, I'm just going to continue with where the guides are going. And he goes, okay, go ahead. He says, I did ask you to do that. So just go ahead.
So he knew enough to apologize that he was rude
mm-hmm.
and then told you not to tell him certain things.
Yep. But told me to go open.
Okay, keep going. Keep going. I'm struggling.
Yep, it's okay. So I was struggling too.
Yeah, I believe you.
And that...
I know you.
That's why I just...
Butt was puckered during that session.
No, and every time I struggle with the client, butt puckered and all, I just turn to the left.
Yeah.
I tune the human being right out. I just turn the volume down. I turn the screen off. And I just simply tune right into the guides. I do that all the time now
mm-hmm.
when the human's struggling in front of me. So anyway, so when I listened to the guides and then I came back, I said to him, look at Raj. I said, the guides are saying that your wife undermines you constantly. And he goes, you go on. He says, I'm all ears. He goes, you just continue. So I said, I've got examples. And he goes, okay, I'm willing to listen. And I said, what she does is she listens to you. She's really deeply listening to you. He goes, that's correct. He says, my wife really listens to me. I can talk my problems out. I bring them home from work. And he's really trying to go really elaborately into explaining to me what a great listener she is. And I said, Raj, I said, I need you to stop talking. And I said, it's not going to influence the spirit guides or your message, how you try to defend. And he went, pardon? And I said, you're defending her. And I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
I said, like, this isn't you and I as friends or strangers talking. I said, I'm not interested in you defending your wife in the least. And I said, and also, I'm not attacking your wife.
Mm-hmm.
I said, as Karen Sarlo, I'm not attacking your wife and I'm not attacking your marriage. The guides, your guides, her guides, are here in a group to say what she's doing, to explain the feelings you're feeling, mm-hmm. which is why you're sitting here. And I said, so the guides are saying that while she is really a deep listener to you, like she listens to you often, she listens to you frequently, she even regurgitates back what you say to make sure that you understand it, she does these things. He goes, yeah. And I said, she uses all of that information to undermine you. So this is the reason she's such a good listener. And I said, he goes, well, like, how does she undermine me? And I said, well, number one, she'll tell you exactly what you should have said. And he goes, okay. Like this. And he holds his head. And I said, what happened there? I said, you just grabbed your head. And I said, is that accurate then? Is that an accurate statement? And he goes, oh yeah. like this. And I said, she will listen to you and tell you what you should have said, even in conversations like at work where she wouldn't even know what you were doing at work, but she tells you how to do your job at work. And you have to look at her like, how would you know that? You're not, like, you don't have my certifications. You don't have my education. We're not even in the same career. Where's this coming from? And if you question that, she'll just sort of like brush it off. Like, well, I'm just trying to help you, hun. I'm just trying to be helpful, sweetie. And I said, when she's undermined you, she purposely uses terms of endearment to deflect so that you don't pay attention to the actual undermining. And he goes, she has pet names for me. Like this. And I said, yeah, I'll bet she does.
Which is fine if you're not using them to sandwich undermining.
Yep. Yes. And I said, but you have to start paying attention to when she uses the pet names for you. I said, you're going to see a pattern. And he goes, can you just stop for a minute? And I said, yep. He goes, I'm really struggling. And I said, okay. He says, I have to think. So I was quiet and I'm listening to the spirit guides. And then he comes back and he says, I'm struggling because you're right.
Okay. This, can we just pause for a second? Cause yep. This is a big deal for Raj. And I just want to point it out for individuals who might not understand why this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Can we pause? I need to think. Is a huge fucking deal to recognize if you have been perpetually undermined, because you don't necessarily understand that you're not thinking, let alone for yourself, when you're undermined all the time. So the ask for you to pause, to give him space to actually access his own thoughts, especially when she's not present, is a very big deal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Then the guide said, tell him another one. So I said, Raj, I said, when you want something done, say you're going to do some renovations, she will offer to go get the supplies. She will offer to go and do something to help you out, to support you. And she points out that she's doing it to help you and support you. She makes a point. And he goes, yeah, that's true. That's fine. Like this. And I said, then she goes out to get those things. And instead of being 20 minutes so that you've got the day to do it or the time frame to do it, she'll be gone and she'll have the car. And he goes, what do you mean the car? I said, well, you only have one between the two of you. He goes, how do you know we have one vehicle? I said, because the guides are telling me. But if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. No, he says, we've only got one car. He says, part of this is like really intriguing me that you know these little details about like that I have one car versus a truck versus, he says, like, I'm catching everything you say. He says, so part of that like is just entertaining for me. And I want to ask you a million questions. Like, how the hell do you know that? But then you're telling me about my wife's behavior and it's really bothering me. And he says, but I want to hear it. I said, okay. I said, so I'm going to finish. I said, she goes out then, and instead of being 20 minutes, she might be 2 hours to half the day. And when she comes back in, I said, when you go to get angry because now you haven't been able to do what you wanted to do, so that's the undermining. He goes, what? I said, that's her undermining you. And he goes like this and holds his head like, what the frig? And I said, but she really fucks you up because she'll bring you back a coffee.
Censors the frig and then immediately uses the word fuck.
Sorry.
Yeah. On her own show.
Yeah. And then brings you in the coffee.
Mm.
And is like, it's front and center. Mm-hmm. So she still will have your material. So she's done the job. This is good. She's fucking brilliant. She's actually got his materials. So she will go get them, but she'll just go out and do her own shit first and then go get the coffee because she feels like one too. And she'll come in with a couple of coffees because she's going to enjoy herself. And then, babe, I got us coffee. And then he'll go, I was supposed to get this done 2 hours ago so that I could go golfing this afternoon and or whatever it is that he's doing. I got to go to work now or I have the kids for the afternoon. You're going out. I don't have time to do whatever it is. But she's got coffee, so she'll look at him and go, you couldn't appreciate the coffee?
Well, yeah, the coffee and the pet names are the same thing.
Yes.
I'm showing you warmth, and you have the audacity to be cold to me.
Oh, Kelly. That's such a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's a trap.
Yes, because then later when something actually boils into a fight, because now he's angry about this, but she shuts him up in the moment.
Yeah.
Then 3 days later, or a week later.
Whatever his pattern is.
Yes. Whenever he hits fed up and starts to backtrack, she says to him, you do this all the time. You bring up the past.
Mm-hmm.
And
because you have created a block and a diversion.
Yes. Isn't she brilliant?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, so by the time a week or a month or whatever it is that's gone by, where you are literally building all of these little things that I'll say chip away at you.
Resentment.
Yeah. And where you don't feel justified. So you might be in the car going for your own drive now and doing your own thing, or you're at work and you've got some downtime, or here's a real reality. When you're with your family or your friends and they say, how are you? And you chat and all of a sudden this shit comes up. You focus first on the fact that she was 2 hours late, because now you have to explain to that person, I didn't get it done for you. Well, how come? Or whatever it is. Well, you know, she was going to go out and get me the material, but she was late. And then the person says to him, I said, your family and friends point out to you, of course she was late. I said, your family and friends know her patterns. They know it and they say it to you. And he goes, oh, they do. And I said, and then that's exactly when you defend her. Exactly.
I'm being triggered. I am being so deeply triggered. Go on.
Oh, okay.
It's good. It's good. And I like pointing that out. I'm in this seat as a listener. And I think it's important that I point out a vulnerable human moment that I'm having, because tons of people will be listening to this and go, fuck, I'm being triggered, and might feel upset with themselves that they can't just hear a story or that they're making it about themselves. But the point is, we want you to. We want you to draw your own parallel, and I want you to have the grace for yourself to recognize that you are being triggered and that that's a good thing, and that hopefully you're listening to this in a place of safety, physical and emotional, where you can pause us and start to reflect on what that thing is for you and your partner, or you and whoever it is you're defending, right? Where they have undermined you.
Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah. If we don't show that about ourselves, how does it give other people permission to do the same?
Correct. That's correct. And I'm glad that you're doing it. I'll just hit pause here.
Yeah, you have a story to tell.
Yes, because I'm going to try and stick to the story.
And I've interrupted you enough.
That's okay. And I appreciate what you're doing and your vulnerability. This session in particular really triggered me.
Mm-hmm.
And
I believe you. I think we might have a few of the same buttons from a few of the same men.
Yes, we do.
Go on.
But I have to stay focused on the channeling and the energy healing.
Of course.
For the whole hour. I can't allow my triggers to be hit where I want to feel it and respond to it until I'm done with the client.
Totally.
Or the client can come back and accuse me that that's my shit. And people have done that to me in the past.
Oh my God. No one's asking you to defend yourself.
Oh.
This wasn't even about you.
Okay. So here we go. Back into this story.
Speaking of being triggered.
With Rob. Anybody listening to this is going to be, these two women are a shit show.
No one said we weren't.
Yeah. Okay. So I said, your family and friends point this out to you, and that's when you hit defending her mode. And I said, and that's part of the cycle that you are in that causes the anxiety, because now you know what she's done. In the original moment, you're not learning how to deal with conflict. In the original moment, you don't understand that what she's doing are forms of verbal abuse. And he went, never heard of it. He goes, I've heard of verbal abuse, but that's screaming at each other. He goes, we don't scream at each other ever. And I said, no. I
said, just on the inside, Raj.
Yes. I said, there are 15 forms of verbal abuse, Raj. And he goes, never heard of it. And I said, okay, do you want to? And he goes, what do you mean? Do I want to? And I said,
deflection.
Yeah. And I said, well, Raj, I said, you are in a relationship here where you do some of your own verbal abuse to her and you do some of this verbal abuse to yourself. And I said, if you didn't verbally abuse yourself, she would never get away with verbally abusing you because you would have such high standards and boundaries for yourself. You wouldn't tolerate it and you'd know exactly how to cope with it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I don't think those people exist. And I said, of course you don't. And he goes, what? I said, well, of course you don't think they exist. I said, because you're in the hot pot of water. You're the frog. You're the one boiling at a slow rate. And I said, you're just in that reality. That's your reality. And I said, you would have had that reality probably since you were a kid. Mm-hmm. You probably had parents that undermined you. Oh my God, now you've hit it.
Well, you hit it a long time ago, so that was rude. And to his credit, in his defense, you would have to not believe that those people exist because then you aren't called to accountability to be one of those people.
That's right.
And I say deflection when he says, what do you mean? Do I want to? That was a very straightforward question. If someone says, do you want a resource? And you say, what do you mean, do I want a resource? You're buying time because you're not sure if you basically can afford to know better.
Yes.
And do better.
Yes. Really well said. So I continued to talk and I said, okay, look, let's take a time out. I said, I'm going to step out of channeling. So I always let clients know when I'm taking a break from channeling and identifying that I'm speaking.
Yes, thank you so much for explaining how much integrity you have.
So I said, Raj, you're being given information. The guides are offering you opportunities to grow. And I said, so that you actually understand what is going on within you first, not your wife, you first, because it is your life. It is not your marriage first. It's life first. Mm-hmm. And he goes, okay. And I said, so what we're asking you, the guides and me, is are you willing to take the resources? We're asking you, do you really want the truth? Do you want this to change? Are you willing to risk changing who you are and how you treat yourself to get healthier? Even if it means at the cost of this isn't your person, because you're learning that your person is abusive towards you.
Which means they're not your person.
That came, Kelly. That came. But it's so important for everybody to know it didn't come from me. Mm-hmm. It didn't come from the spirit guides. It came from Raj, which rocked like all of us. The happy dance in the kitchen.
Cool.
Because when I asked that question and worded it that way, I said, Raj, like, it doesn't matter to me if you don't want the tools, if you're going to read a book or don't read a book. I don't know you. I have nothing invested here. And I said, but the spirit world has everything invested in you because these are your spirit guides. They are 100% on your team that you want to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And the healthiest version so that you love yourself. That's one of your soul purposes, is to do that. And in reality, it's also your wife's purpose. And then you come from that space to love each other. And he went, Jesus. He goes, oh my God. He goes, okay, so in answer to your question, because I've been rude to you again, yes, I'd like the resources. And okay. He goes, and he says, can I now talk? And I said, yes. And he goes, Karen, he goes, I have been nothing but a terrible client. And he goes, and I have been abused by my wife because I abused myself. I'm getting this. He goes, and the abuse is what my family and friends have been trying to tell me all along that I'm not listening to, which is why some of them are willing to walk away from me, giving me ultimatums, telling me I shouldn't be in my marriage, telling me they can't stand my wife, he says, my boss telling me that if I don't get my shit at home fixed, that I can find another job. He says, oh my God. He says, I didn't see it as undermining. He says, it was that key word that blew my world open. Mm. He says, it explains depression to me because you're explaining that it's a cycle. He says, Karen, if you have a cycle of abusing yourself and letting others abuse you and you're abusing your own partner, how could you be happy? How could you not be full of anxiety or not depressed? Mm-hmm. He goes, I am not a rocket scientist, but I am smart enough to get that.
Can we pause here? Because I really love this. I don't have a clinical background in psychology. I want to be very upfront about that. But you're linking so much to depression, and what is fucking infuriating is the amount of people who go to their doctors because they might feel like Raj in just a pure intention of, I need help. I don't feel the way I want to feel, and I don't know how to get to that place of feeling better. And we label it depression and we say a pill will fix it. When, and this is a really important term, there is such thing as situational depression. Depression, if you think about it in terms of the actual brain chemistry or the brain like firing and wiring, sometimes we lose or don't develop the ability to fire and wire, and kind of those receptors can't get what they need, or the brain can't create what it needs in order to regulate in some optimal ways, let's say. That's depression in an actual chemistry and structural way. Situational depression, your pill will do fuck all forever. It might mask whatever you're feeling, but if you consistently take your pill and go back into the environment in which you are undermined over and over and over and over and over again, nothing is changing. It is so important to recognize if you have situational depression, you have to evaluate the people in your life, the job in your life, the purpose that you feel connected to, and many other things. But without that distinction between the two kinds, treatment is not the same. And we can't truly help ourselves unless we are asking the question that Raj got to the place of being able to have asked of him and then ask it of himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just going to say you've done it once again. Oh. So this next part of what occurs in the actual treatment is what you've just explained. It comes from, in Raj's personal life, a friend and a member of his family, but I don't remember who. I just remember it was in two places of his life.
It what?
The confrontation where somebody said to him...
Not the depression, the confrontation of it.
Yes. Okay. That said to him, the medication you're on is not going to fix the marriage. And that's where he was like, now I'm understanding what they're saying to me.
Okay. And can we also go back to a part that made me like my jaw hit the floor? My marriage is great. It's better than most. We just said that the bar was real high and then lowered it super, like what the hell? It's great compared to others. That's a very low bar.
Well, and I think it's really good that you're pointing that out, because I think that's exactly what people do when they don't have a good marriage, is compare it to other people's, and purposely and only to those that are worse. When people are in healthy marriages, they don't compare their marriage, period.
Right.
Ever.
Yep, I love that.
They don't need to. They aren't looking to compare because they're happy in their own situation. They don't have to discuss someone else's marriage, mm-hmm. unless they're actually looking to help that person with it,
like that.
And point it out in a healthy way.
But then otherwise, they're not discussing, they're not comparing their marriage.
That's
right. They're just showing up and observing yours.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So this kind of conversation occurs with Raj, and I got to tell you, from a person who I found extremely difficult for part of his session, he ends up really freaking showing up to really truly validate some healthy people in his life that are trying to say, medication isn't going to deal with your situation. You have to deal with your situation. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to point out to you what she's doing to you. And we're trying to say that you're not willing to look at it so that you can stay in that situation because you don't believe you deserve better. And we love you and we think you do deserve better. But also, if you don't believe it, we can't keep telling you. Mm-hmm. So eventually, we're going to stop talking. And you're just going to be in your shit.
Isolated.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. So this session ends like on such a freaking good note in the sense that he's now willing to go back and look at it and say to his wife, this is undermining. Mm-hmm. And he says to me, can you give me resources? And the guides say to him, look at Patricia Evans' book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship. You probably need Hold Me Tight for Healthier Conversations by Susan Johnson. Mm-hmm. They start giving him all kinds of resources. They also tell him The Nice Girl Syndrome by Beverly and Jell. And he goes, why? What? And I said, you're people-pleasing your partner. You're not dealing with conflict. You move into people-pleasing, resentment. He says, I try to say things. I just keep getting blocked. And I said, you're still people pleasing. And I said, you've got core beliefs about relationships and about your own life and your own expectations that are based in those core beliefs of the people pleaser. And he goes, fine, I'll write it down.
You've been right about everything else. What are the odds?
Yeah, exactly. And I said, Raj, I said, these are your spirit guides. Do you think they're going to give you books to read that they don't think will have any benefit to you? I said, we're asking the spirit world that loves you more than any human on earth could possibly love you.
And like no spirit guide has been like, let's give them the runaround. let's waste their time.
Right.
Life ain't that precious.
No, we call those humans.
Yeah. But this was fun. I had fun chirping. I had fun commentating. I had fun learning. I even had fun being triggered. Thank you for sharing this session.
You're very welcome. And you know, if Raj calls back and there's a part two to this, I'd be happy to share it. I just don't know if I'll ever see Raj because it was ending on, I'll take the resources. And you could see where I don't want to be on medication. And you can see where, geez, if the medication isn't going to work, what am I doing?
Calling Karen again.
Hopefully.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.